if you look at what's happening today, it's not just because of AI, but in general, because of high throughput data that can be generated out of a biological system. And the amount of data that you can generate was unimaginable even a few years ago.
In our series on MedPerf, we wanted to introduce you to a computer scientist at the forefront of AI and machine learning development, Debojyoti Dutta, who goes by the nickname Debo. His work is bringing AI to IT leaders across many industries, including healthcare. This is the Tech Barometer podcast. I'm Jason Lopez. When you hear about AI and how great it'll be for healthcare, you might wonder, well, who are the people making it happen? Debo is one of those technologists who's working to connect the dots of computer science and medicine.
When coupled with AI, it's going to completely change the way we design drugs, how we design antibodies, new therapeutics. I can't even imagine all the things that we will be able to do using this iteration of AI, coupled with the amount of data that we can generate out of living beings.
One area Debo thinks AI will have a profound effect is in examining medical images. For example, people with diabetes are at risk for loss of eyesight. With AI assistance, images of the inside of the eye could give doctors far more earlier detection of diabetic retinopathy. Other imaging examples include detection of tumors and cancers. And another area where AI could bring a transformation, immunotherapy.
Immunotherapy, in a nutshell, is to program your immune system to fight bad actors in your body. The bad actors could be viruses. It could be cancer cells.
Our immune system can detect viruses, but sometimes cancer cells are invisible to it. Cancer cells can appear normal, and the immune system allows them to go about wreaking havoc. In immunotherapy, the DNA of the immune system's T cells are changed to recognize the genetic strands of the tumor cell and destroy them.
Let's see how AI gets into this space. So the programming, the existing T cell can be done with gene therapy. But how do you know what to program? That's where AI comes in. Using AI, you can rapidly design sequences. People are today looking at a lot of sequence data as well as literature, feeding them into large language models. And they are actually trying to generate candidate sequences for lab experiments.
Advances in large language models as well as computer infrastructure are cutting development times dramatically. Debo says that what would have taken years might take a tenth or even a hundredth of the time.
I'm not an oncologist. I'm not a gene therapy researcher or an immunotherapy researcher. But I do believe that as a systems person, if I can help the life cycle of the machine learning go faster, I can help them to make immunotherapy get better and better. We can cure more types of cancers and more diseases.
Debo was born in India. His mother is a retired doctor and his father a retired engineer. Those two professions are some of the most sought after in the country, and getting into a good university to pursue those professions can be very competitive. He was able to enroll in one of the top colleges in engineering, where he opted to study computer science.
But I kept thinking about biology, but I didn't do much about it.
After graduating, he came to the U.S. to study for a PhD at the University of Southern California, and that's when he saw another dimension to computer science.
It looks like pure science in many ways because it's a lot of math, applied math, and discrete math, and a lot of engineering too. But it can be applied to biology.
At USC, he encountered a large team doing computational biology. And after his PhD, he had this thought.
No matter what I do in life, I need to spend some time in computational biology at USC before I actually get into my career and just be a researcher and learn how computer science can be applied. And that's when I first picked up what is now known as machine learning.
What do you think about the AI boom?
Yeah, that's a very interesting and loaded question. I could spend the entire session just talking about that.
Models are at the heart of machine learning. Data is used to train models, which are deployed to infer from new data. And in the ChatGPT and generative AI space, models are getting bigger.
These models can be as large as 1 trillion parameters. And typically, when you see new data, you have to run this data through the model. Big models take longer time, more compute resources. And so measuring the performance will lead to more innovations in the infrastructure space.
That will make models cheaper to develop and cheaper to deploy. But Debo points out the quality of the model still matters.
When you're generating text, how good is the text? Is it hallucinating? Is this text believable? How was this model developed? Was it developed on open data? Was it developed on somebody's private data? And if that is the case, what's the liability of the model if I use that model?
When Debo did his postdoc in computational biology at USC, it was called statistical algorithms at the time. He says he was on the right track as he explored signals in biological experiments, especially proteomics, the study of proteins.
I got to learn about machine learning as a part of understanding how the human body works.
Statistical algorithms were one of his tools at his job later at Cisco. He did cloud computing for a while, but then decided to investigate a new area.
And what struck me is cancer therapeutics in the US was still not advanced enough by a computer scientist's standards.
One day, he found himself at a meeting at Stanford with some leading machine learning experts. That group became ML Commons. Subsequently, they began discussing what ML Commons ought to do. It wasn't long before a medical-focused working group was formed.
And that's when the idea of this MedPerf paper was born.
The MedPerf paper, entitled Federated Benchmarking of Medical Artificial Intelligence with MedPerf, established the vision for the organization.
MedPerf was not even a thing. I mean, we just started MedPerf. We got together a bunch of experts from different walks of life because, you know, problems in medicine are hard. They need expertise from all corners. So we consulted with oncologists, computer scientists, data folks, and a lot of people who knew the ins and outs of the pharmaceutical industry.
In our conversation with Debo, we did ask him specifically about ChatGPT, and he relayed what Nutanix customers are saying.
I love ChatGPT. It can do amazing things and maybe transform my business, but I have to give away my data to ChatGPT.
What they want is a ChatGPT equivalent, kind of a ChatGPT in a box, running on their own private infrastructure.
Nutanix is very customer focused, so our reaction is a turnkey solution which will help our customers run generative AI models, including large language models, that fuel applications like ChatGPT on their private infrastructure. I joined Nutanix in 2020 during the pandemic. And when I joined Nutanix, I realized that Nutanix had this amazing platform which could host a lot of these amazing next-gen AI workloads that would change the world in ways that we don't even know about. For example, new drugs, new antibodies. So I'm really excited by medicine and AI and infrastructure and what it could do to humankind.
Debo Dutta is Vice President of Engineering at Nutanix and a founding member of ML Commons. This is the Tech Barometer podcast. I'm Jason Lopez. If you like this report and want to know more about MedPerf, we've got a couple of other stories on the group, one focusing on the paper and another on MedPerf co-founder and the paper's co-author, Alex Karagiris. You can find more at The Forecast, which produces this podcast. It's at theforecastbynutanix.com.